Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your love today. We thank you, Jesus, for your obedience to the Father, that you made such a great sacrifice for us.
Yes.
We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Give us your word, your truth for our lives today. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We are continuing on today in the series that God is having me share with you, and I'm still excited. Hopefully you are too. I think I've said with y'all before that I love teaching because that's kind of what God has me doing. So when I get a chance to be up here, I'm having fun. It's the time of my life. So hopefully you're enjoying it. I am. So we've actually made it all the way to verse 14. It only took us the fourth week to get to verse 14. We started in 10, and we've got 10 through 13 down. And each week I've gone back and just kind of picked up where we left off. And so really we've gotten to the point now where we actually, going through this passage, we start putting the armor on. But as I shared last week, this is not to be done in some religious form. In other words, you just don't go through it and say, okay, now I'm about to do this, so I need to put this on, this on, this on, this on, this on, this on. It really comes as part of your life throughout your day. You should be putting all of this on, but it's not like you just sit down and go through it in an order. I shared last week that if I were to think back through my day, I often put some of this armor on while I'm in prayer. Just I'm speaking out things that we're going to be covering as part of my prayer. But then I notice that there's other parts of the armor I put on throughout my day as I'm walking around my house often. So I shared there's no one else in the house, so no one will think I'm crazy if I'm speaking out loud. So I'm declaring some things. I'm proclaiming some things. And I then are putting other parts of this armor on throughout the day. Now, one of the keys is put it all on. Okay? And to be truthful, I mentioned it last week. As I started going through it, I looked at the pieces of the armor, and I go, well, there's one I don't know that I put on every day. And so now, it just the thoughts there, thinking, okay, this is part of what should be in there. And it was actually a case where it's something that I generally walk in all the time. But as we talked about last week, just because you have the revelation of something doesn't mean that it's always turned on. In other words, it's those words coming out of your mouth and renewing your mind and activating it and making it a part of your daily walk. And so I now have to make sure I do that in that one area. Okay? Just because I had the revelation, it doesn't mean it's turned on all the time. And so I know I have to turn that part on. So it's been good for me going through this with you, too. I tell people, one of the things I like about teaching is I'm always praying that the Holy Spirit gets to you exactly what you need. But don't think that I'm not learning things up here as I'm teaching it too. I often, by sharing something, and I'm sure you found it too, that when you teach someone else something, it just gets it reinforced in you even more. So another advantage for me getting to teach this. So let's go to verse 14. And it starts there with that first piece of armor. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth." Okay, so we're going to talk about this one for a while. So I shared last week, we could take each one of these pieces of armor and do an eight-week series or more on each one of them. All I can say is God isn't leading me to do that. We're going to spend a little bit of time on each one and only share what God's put on my heart to share at this time. And what I would like to start by is, here's a place we're girding our waist with the truth. We shouldn't be surprised that this is the first thing that he has us put on, in the analogy anyhow. Because we talked about the fact a couple of weeks ago, Satan's main weapons of attack are falsehoods, outright lies, distorted representations of the truth. And so, in laying this out, the apostle says, let's start by putting on truth. And here's the key. It's not the world's truth. It's not what the world's saying is the truth. Okay? Or even maybe your own understanding of truth. Sometimes we ourselves have it wrong too. Okay? There's only one place that we can go to find the truth. Okay? And that's what we have to be careful of. Don't just rely on self or the world to say, well, this is what I know is truth. And in fact, as I was preparing this, thought, okay, how do I share this? And God pulled up a scripture that's in me, 2 Timothy 3:16. And I'm sure many of you know what it is. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, what is doctrine? Doctrine is the teaching of the truth. Okay? The written word that we're going to find in the Bible. And so this is the starting point. So if we want to find out what, and I will phrase this in a way that you may catch it and figure out what I'm going to talk about even before I get there, above and beyond what, but who is the truth? Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16, as I said, we're talking about the doctrine. So what does the Bible say about truth? Well, Psalms 119:160 says this, the entirety of your word is truth. Everything that God says is truth. That should settle it. You want to know what truth is? Find what God says. Okay? Not what you think. Often people will ask me, like, well, what do you think about this? And I go, I really don't want to tell you what I think. Okay? I want to share what God knows, not what I think. Seriously, because my thinking can be messed up. And I will tell you from listening to other people, often theirs is too. So just tell me what the word says. I know then that I have truth. Okay? John 17:17 says this, sanctify them, which means set them apart. And how does he set us apart? By your truth. Your word is truth. So this is what the Bible is saying, that this that God's word and the word that we have in our Bible is the truth. So we want to get it right. We have to go there. Now, so in going there, let's look at John 14:6. Go ahead and turn there. I'll give you a second to get there. John 14:6. This will lead into what I was telling you by saying not only what is truth, but who is truth. It will show you this here. These are the very words of Jesus explaining truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Okay? Let's look at John 5:39. This is Jesus again. These are his words. John 5:39 says this. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. So when you go into the word, Jesus is saying what you're going to read about is me. Okay, this is what it's talking about. And I am the truth. So if you want to find truth, it's going to be found in his word, but the truth is found in Jesus because he is the truth. Okay? So now here's one thing that's important. This is just something that God shared with me as I was going through this in preparation for this week. I started thinking of those who don't know the truth. Okay? Now, what I'm saying is those who are born again, but maybe they don't have a Bible. They haven't been taught yet. They're a babe in Christ. So they don't know the truth. But do you know that we who do can pray the truth over them? Okay? And that's actually something we should be doing. Okay? Because they don't know better yet. Okay? Now, we try to disciple them, have them become disciplined followers, that they then know the truth and they can proclaim these things over their own lives. But until then, we have a job to do. Okay? And how God brought this out to me was specifically thinking about the last tribe that the Marabellas went into, the Wasabi. Because they've basically been visited by the Marabellas twice, and they've had about 4 hours of truth presented to them. Okay. And this is up until that very first day when the Marabellas went in. They went in and said, okay, do you know of a God? Do you worship a God? Do you know a God? And they explained who God was to them. He was the one who put the sun in the sky that let them function during the day. Okay? And they really liked this, but they said, but we have to go to sleep really fast at night. Because as soon as it turns dark, God goes to sleep. And he's not protecting us anymore. That was their explanation, their understanding of God before the Marabellas came in. So you know where their starting point. This is their starting point. And now they've been shared 4 hours of truth. Okay? So do you think they know everything they need to be professing, proclaiming, coming out of the words of their mouth over their life? They don't know that yet. So that's part of our job. And as I was preparing, just doing some reading throughout the Bible in different areas, not saying, well, the Holy Spirit took me there. He may have, but it was just kind of random reading. I came across a passage and I go, wow, I can't wait to share this with a Wasabi when I get there next year. Okay? But at that very same time, I said, okay, they can't wait for me to get there next year and tell them this. They need this now. So what do I do? What can we do? We can pray this over them now. I'll share it with them when I get there. And I want to take you there so you can see this, because it also has another link to what we're talking about here in putting on the armor of God. So I don't have this scripture in place, but let's turn there. Psalms chapter 121, verses 3-8. So I'm just going to read through this. I'll let you get there first because I want you to see this. But this is something God put on my heart to start praying now. I've got it written down so that when I get there, I'll share this with them. This is a truth that they need to know based on where they're starting at. But it also applies, as I said, to the teaching we're doing now. So verse 3 starts with this. He will not allow your foot to be moved. So what's he saying there? He's saying that your feet aren't going to waver or slip, which would cause you to fall. And why would he do that? Because he wants you to be able to stand. Remember, we're talking about here, we have to stand. Well, if we're slipping, wavering, falling, we're not standing. Okay? But it says he will not allow your foot to be moved. God. The he here is God. God will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. I thought, oh boy, they need to hear this. He's not slumbering. Behold, he who keeps Israel. And you do know that we've been grafted in, okay? So when it's talking of Israel, we're there too. So he's talking about all those who are saved. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. There, if you look up the Hebrew word, one of the words there it mentions is your protector. He is your protector. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you. And I looked up the Hebrew word there, and what it means there is to guard and protect you. So the Lord will guard and protect you from all evil. So basically, once again, going back to what we're teaching on here, we're putting on the full armor of God because it's Satan and those principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's all the evil that's coming against you. But it says the Lord will protect you, will guard you, will preserve you against all those things. He's doing it, okay? The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So as I read this, I just got excited. Okay, I've got a place I can start praying now. Because he's going to protect them, even though they don't know this. Because I'm going to be praying this over them. Okay? And I'll share it when I get the opportunity to. But knowing God's truth, I'd like to say this, is only the start. To know it is one thing. To proclaim it, profess it, speak it out, which activates it in our lives, and actually walking in his key. Just to know something really doesn't do you that much good. You actually have to apply it, okay? In other words, that's when it becomes vitally important, because it's really your life. You're living it out. Psalms 8:2 says this, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Remember right up from the very beginning of this passage, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So he's wanting us to be strong as we're doing this, putting on the armor and ultimately praying. Okay, but he's saying he's ordained strength. How? Out of the mouths. Even those who maybe don't know everything that they're saying, if they're saying God's word and they believe in him, God's going to move. He meets you right where you're at. Okay, even if you have a limited understanding of what you're saying, God's word is his word. And if it's spoken out and you believe in him, you're going to see results, even if you don't totally understand it. And I mean God results. It says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies. Keep this in mind, because we're talking about the enemies here, all those that we just talked about. And it says that you may silence the enemy and the avengers. See, now, this is what happens often as we go to prayer or when we're spending time with God. What is Satan going to do? He's going to come in and try to speak to you and speak lies to you. And here it's talking about God. God will be the one who silences the avenger. So in other words, he won't be able to even speak those things to you. God's going to take care of that. When you're, what's the first part of the thing talking about? You got to speak out those truths that you know. It says it's out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. Okay? So there's a speaking out, God's truth, and then he'll ordain the strength, and he will silence the enemy and the avenger. So we need to have these words on our lips, and that will silence the enemy. And we should be praying these words, once again, over those who don't know them yet, but they need God's truth. And so we can do that on their behalf until they know these truths. So that's what God would have me share on truth. And as I said, you could spend 8 weeks there. We spent less than 20 minutes. I actually am excited to hear at one point in time. I found out last night, Dale Armstrong spoke at Church of the Word International. And he mentioned that starting about 3 weeks ago, God had him start developing a teaching on the armor of God. So after I'm done teaching it, I can't wait sometime to hear what he's going to share. Because by no means do I think God's given me all the revelation on the subject. Okay? So I'm excited sometime to hear what God's giving him to share too. And then I know also that Pastor Bill has said it's one of the things that God's put on his heart to share in the book of Ephesians. So I can't wait till he gets to chapter 6 and gets to share more on this. Because then I'll get to see more and more and more of God's truth in this area. For now, this is all God's having me share. So don't think that, oh, he shared that, that's all there is. No, there's a lot more. That's just what God's having me share at this time. So let's go in to the second piece of the armor that God has us put on. So back in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're in verse 15, I do believe it is now, right? I have to look at my own notes. Sometimes I lose track of which verse I'm on as I just go through it in my mind. Yeah, okay, we're in 14. Yeah, that's where the first ones are put on. And so then it says, so the first thing we do is we gird our waist with the truth. Second, it says that we, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So I want to look at a few verses here talking about righteousness. Once again, thinking back to what I shared in truth, it said, whose truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you're putting on that breastplate of righteousness, I won't even say, what are you putting on? I'm going to say, who are you putting on? Okay. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. Give you a second to turn there because I want you to see this. This is important. This is one of the main things that God revealed to me as I was going through this. And God will have me tie it in here. Because I think as I told you that I never, if you read through this, you don't see the word joy in here anywhere. In this passage. In fact, in my mind, I'm going, where do you find joy in putting on the armor of God? But we already showed you one place, right at the very beginning. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And he says we're to be strong. So the starting point is to be in joy. Okay? Well, we're going to get to some more joy, only you may not see it here. I'll let you start thinking about it. Hopefully, God's showing you things as I'm speaking. Maybe you can make the connection before I even get there. Okay? Where are we going to find joy in this? Okay? So let's look at Jeremiah 23:6. It says, in his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. It's talking about Jesus here. And what's he called? Our righteousness. Okay? Let us also look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Here it says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, we must know that we are, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, the very righteousness of God, but it's in Christ Jesus, because he alone is righteous. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, the only one who is righteous, who's walked this earth, is Jesus. That's it. He is our righteousness. In him we are righteousness, are righteous, but it's only because of him. So, when you're putting on this breastplate of righteousness, who are you putting on? Jesus, right here. So, have any of you made the joy connection yet? This is as I was going through this, God showed me. And I couldn't explain it. I've been trying to explain it to y'all since I came back on my trip. And I was trying to figure it out how to say it even while I was on my trip to Tanzania. I've just been in joy since the week before I went on that trip. And I'm trying to explain how, why. Don't even have the words for it. And then I loved it when the Bible says, well, it's inexpressible joy, meaning you really can't even figure out how to express it. Okay? And I've been struggling. But he showed me something here. How many of you, I know all of you know this passage, okay? You all know it. In fact, I don't even think I have written down where this passage is. But I know you know it's in there. And that's what I will often do when I can't remember exactly where it's at and I remember something. I go, trust me, it's in there. No, don't trust me. Go look it up. I actually tell people, don't trust me. And I say that for a reason. I like people digging through their Bible to find if what I'm saying is right, because what I found is they often find other things too. So I encourage people, go find it and see that what I'm sharing with you is true. But I will tell you, this is in here and I'm sure you all know it. The Bible says this, in his presence is fullness of joy. So as I was putting this armor on and teaching the people to put it on, I found myself in joy because I was putting on the truth. Jesus, he's right there. I'm putting on his righteousness. He's right there. So as I was doing this, God was showing me his presence there. As I'm doing this and in experiencing his presence, I'm then drawing on the joy that he's put in me. It's in there already. But by having my mind renewed on this word, I'm then seeing and living out the joy that's in there. In other words, part of what we have to do, God has put joy in us. In fact, we'll get to it when I do a little kind of separate teaching going forward. One of the weeks will be just specifically on joy. And what I liked is when I was studying it out, I found one of the, I can't remember if it was a Greek or Hebrew word, but when you looked it up, this word joy or in rejoice said, he has crammed you full. That was really the definition of the word as it was used there. He's crammed you full of joy. Every one of us are crammed full. And the other word, it says leveled up. So if you have a glass of water, it means it's right to the top. There's no more room. Now, here's the key. Just because you're crammed full and it's leveled up, you got to do something to let it out. Okay? And this is part of the letting it out. It's renewing your mind on the word and actually living out of what has been put inside of you. To keep it inside of you, it can benefit you, but it really doesn't help anyone else either. I think I shared this earlier. One of the things as I was sharing this in Tanzania, I said, you know, don't just go around telling people you're full of joy. Let your face know and let them see it on you. Okay? Then people start asking you, what do you have that I don't have? What's different about you? And then you can share this with them. Jesus, he's the reason I have all this joy. Okay? And that I recognize his presence with me at all times. Okay? So it's just that in this putting on of the armor, God was showing me how clearly that I should be seeing his presence as I'm doing it. And in his presence, I will have the joy. So this is not some, once again, tedious task that we're just going through. We can enjoy this. This should actually be fun and exciting for us that this is part of what we are to do. And it's fun. It's joyous. As I shared earlier too, I think sometimes people get the idea that, and don't get me wrong, I'll see if I can say this correctly, that everything we have to do is to be, I don't know, so serious. You know, because God is a holy God and he is a righteous God. But it's not about acting in a certain way where that's all we're expressing. It's not that we're saying, no, that isn't truth. It's not, though it's not an either or. It's a both and. So in other words, we come in and we worship and we praise a God who is holy, who is righteous. But we can do it in joy because he is a God who is full of joy. So you shouldn't be suppressing joy the moment you walk in the church because you have to ask this way. Okay? And that shouldn't be anywhere in your life. Let the joy out because the joy is of God. Okay? And that's just something I would encourage you in. And as I share with other people, go, I've almost reached the point where I can't keep it in. In other words, I can't suppress it. I can't stuff it down. It's just coming out. And I like that. So here we're talking about he is the one who is righteousness, and that in him we are the righteousness of God in him. And we are to put this righteousness on because he alone can provide it. In fact, one of the keys is in any of these, don't try putting on yourself or something you've done. It's not going to help you. Okay? It's only him that you can put on that's going to help you against the enemy. Okay? Because I think a lot of people try to... Now, we walk out our own righteousness in him. But that's not what we want to try putting on. Because we're going to fall short. Okay? It's only in his righteousness that having this breastplate of righteousness, who is Jesus, that we can stop the enemy. Because the enemy's going to come and tell you that you're not really his. You don't really have a right relationship with him. And therefore, you really don't have the right to ask for or say the things that you're praying or asking God for. Because that's just one of the things he's going to say. He's going to try to attack you that way. But Jesus was made to be sin for us so that we can stand knowing that we have a right relationship with God. It's only through him that we have that right relationship and that we have been adopted into the family. And as part of the family, we have all the rights and privileges that come along with being part of the family. So as you're speaking these things out and Satan's trying to come in, he's going, no, you can't say that. So, oh, yes, I can. Here's why. Because I am in right relationship with God, and because of that, I have these rights and privileges, not based on anything that I've done, but because of his righteousness. He makes me right with God. And so I can say these things and believe in God, who will be the one to make sure that it actually comes to pass. Okay? So, to me, this is just not a, how would I put it, a sidestep from speaking on the old armor of God. I actually see it as part of putting on the armor of God, and that is experiencing the joy that happens while I'm doing it. It's something that I can say that I never saw it before. So I think I went through it more in the way I'm saying not to do it than the way that God has me do it now. In other words, I would put on the full armor, but did I experience joy as I was doing it? Not really. But now that God has shown this to me, I can't do this without recognizing him, his presence there, and the joy that's involved in doing it the way God would have us do it. Because, as we said from the beginning, where do we find strength? In the joy of the Lord. See, he's given us a battle here. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So in other words, as we're approaching this whole passage, he's saying you're going to be doing something here. You're going to stand against the devil. So this is a battle that you're preparing for, okay? And how we can be strong is in God's joy. And we see the joy of God being expressed in our lives and through our lives when we recognize and acknowledge his presence there with us at all times. So, the passage. I actually just found it in my notes as I was scrolling through. Most of the time I'm up here, I don't look at them too much. The passage where it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. That's Psalm 16:11. For any of you who are taking notes and want to write that down, I'm sure you all knew it was in there, and you've all heard it before. I often like to have a note saying, oh, where do I need to go to if I want to show this with someone else, to someone else? So, in fact, in that passage, as I was looking up the different words, the definitions of them, in the Hebrew, when you see in your presence is fullness of joy, another way to look at those words when you look at the definitions is, in your presence is the satisfaction of exceeding joy. Looking at when you actually start looking up the words, is the satisfaction of exceeding joy. In other words, your soul is satisfied in this exceeding joy when you are in his presence. Your soul is satisfied in the fullness of joy. And that's actually in that phrase. Once again, oftentimes I love it going back and looking up the Hebrew word or the Greek word because I'll see things that I've missed. And I get excited when I see those things. Oh, yeah, this is what this is saying here. This is really what this means to me. So now let's look at one more thing today. So we're going to start into verse 15 and put on the third piece of the armor. And it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's look at John 14:27 as a starting point. Give you a second to turn there. You may already know this one, so some of you may not even have to look it up. John 14:27. So what have we been saying? Jesus is the truth. Jesus is our righteousness. John 14:27 says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Who's talking here? Jesus. And it's his peace. He's telling us if we're going to have peace, it comes through him. And he's leaving his peace with us and for us. And so it's this peace, the peace that he alone can provide, that we're to be shodding our feet with. Okay? So we can clearly see from this passage that our peace comes from Jesus. But what is this peace we're talking about? Romans 5:1 says this. I know some of these, for the sake of time, I may not be giving you a chance to quite get there. Just pausing. If you want to look it up, get there. But at least enough time for you to jot down a note. I found when I'm taking notes, if I just get the scripture reference down, I often go back through a teaching, a sermon, shortly after I've heard it. And if I've got the scripture, I'll remember what the person said about it. So I'm just key in getting the scriptures down. At least that's the way God works with me. So I want to make sure you have at least time for that. But when you can, turn there and look at it, because I don't want to take my word for it. See what the truth says about it. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is the peace that we need to have. This is the peace that it's talking about. The Bible says that we are to be at peace as much as possible with those who we walk with. But the starting point of peace has to come in the establishment of our peace with God the Father. If we don't have that as the starting point, we're not going to be able to walk at peace with our brother and sister in Christ. It's the establishment of the fact that we are now at peace with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Okay? So once again, it's only him that our peace comes from. In fact, let's look down further. That was Romans 5:1. Let's look at just down a few verses. 8 through 10 says this, same chapter. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We've been saved from wrath through him. "For if when we were enemies," catch that word, we were enemies, all of us, we were enemies of God, "we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we who were once enemies of God must have a strong foundation in the fact that through Jesus, and only through Jesus, we are now at peace with God. Satan may try to convince you because of something that you've done that God is no longer on your side. In fact, not as only on your side, he's going to do something to zap you, you know, do something against you. But if you have this truth in you, and that's why that first one being the word is truth is so important, because each thing that we talk about down through this, we're going to find that the word talks about it. And if you can't make that connection, that this is God's truth, that we are at peace with God the Father through Jesus Christ, if you don't have that as a firm foundation, it leaves an opening for Satan to come in and speak things to you to keep you from speaking out in faith the things that you are declaring when you are coming to God and when you are praying. Because that's one of the things he's trying to short circuit. He's trying to short circuit your prayer life by speaking these things to you. But if you have this firm foundation of the truth in you and they're coming off your lips, you need to be speaking them out. Knowing these truths, that it's not about what we have done. It's about what he's done. Okay? So Satan may say, "Well, you just did this. You messed up." I think I've shared it here. God doesn't let me get away with saying, "Oh, I messed up," or "I didn't get that quite right," or whatever. God just goes, "Call it sin." Because then I have to deal with it. we can come up with all these terms that kind of gloss over that we've done something wrong that doesn't sound quite so bad. God with me, I actually like it because that's the way I have to have it. Maybe you're different. I like it when he just, yep, that was sin. Deal with it. I'm like, okay, God. I prefer to see it right in front of my face because when I do, then I know that I'll deal with it. I don't want to be deceived thinking, oh, that wasn't so bad. You know, well, it was if it was against God's truth and against his word. So deal with it. I like to call sin, sin. Now, it doesn't work so well maybe if you're dealing with someone else. In other words, don't walk up and they're talking about something this way. Don't talk about that way. That's just plain sin. It may not go over well. So sometimes you have to be careful how you're presenting things. But I like it when God presents it to me that way. Okay? Because then I know I need to deal with it. Okay? And to me, I think I shared this last week. One of my favorite words in the Bible is repentance. I mean, it is so good. Repentance excites me. Now, I've also said and shared with people, I wish I didn't have to use it so often. But boy, am I glad it's there when I need it. In other words, I'm not looking for an opportunity. I'm not looking to sin so that I can repent. No, I'd rather not use it quite as often. But boy, am I glad it's there. So to me, that's a great word. I would like to say to you all, kind of in closing, something that Moses said to Joshua in Deuteronomy 3:22. This is what Moses said to Joshua. You must not fear them. Satan, principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, you must not fear them. Okay? For the Lord, your God, himself fights for you. So in other words, it's not you fighting a battle. He fights for you. Okay? And that's something that we have to see clearly. He's told us to put this armor on. That's so that Satan can't get in there and short-circuit your prayer life or short-circuit what you're saying in faith. And to keep you from declaring what is truth, put the armor on and let him fight the battle and win the victory. Okay? And if God is for you, what does Romans 8:31 say? Who can be against you? And we can take that a step further and go, what does it matter who's against you? We know who's against you. We just went through the list. Okay? But what does it matter who's against you? If God is for you, and he is the one who is fighting for you, you're at peace with him. People who are at peace don't fight against each other, right? They may unite in that peace to fight against the common enemy. So we have a common enemy with God, and that is Satan and all those that we have talked about here. And he's explaining to us how we do this. What our part is, put on the armor of God. What his part is, he'll fight the battle. And he'll win the victory. I'd like to close with that today. Father God, we just thank you that through you and only through you, we have peace with God. We thank you for your word, which is truth. We thank you that we are righteous because of your righteousness, Jesus. And just continue to share your truth with us so that we can speak it out in boldness, in faith, believing fully that you will do all that you've said you will do. We thank you in advance, looking forward to all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.